Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you look in the tail end of Zechariah, some of that gets a little rough. The Jews at one point will be almost totally destroyed. That's another sermon. But the point is, at the end, remember they said, we'd rather worship Molech and Ashtoreth instead of Christ. And when Christ came, and I know it was wonderful, it was for our benefit, but he was killed. He was condemned by the Jewish religious leader. Today they say, well, we don't want Jesus. We have Moses. One day, and again, in the tail end of Zechariah, we see that they'll say, who's this coming back? And what are these wounds in your hands? One day they're going to accept Jesus Christ. One day. And that's going to be a wonderful, glorious day. They don't want to have anything to do with him now, but one day they will accept. All of the tribulation, as I just finished saying in Daniel on the radio a couple of weeks ago, it was all for the benefit of Israel. When your kid messes up, you take a stick to him, it's not because you hate him, it's because you love him and you want him to do right. And all of these 1900 years so far has been because God loves Israel. Nobody wants the Jews. I read yesterday there was an article. There's apparently a documentary on CNN, and the article was about, hey, there was a documentary on CNN. There were some Polish skinheads that discovered, oh no, we're Jews. How did that happen? It's because when they were hiding from Hitler, they said, oh, we're not Jews, and we changed the name and all that stuff. But they, you know, dirty Jews, who cares about the Jews? They're the cause of the whole problems in all of the world. Oh no, we're Jewish. That was interesting. But it says that they went out in this river a quarter mile. And the waters were to the ankles. And the way that this is preached, this is a picture of the child of God as he begins to live for God. It's a picture of progressive sanctification. Sanctification means to be set apart to God and to be made holy. Not that we could do it, but God does it. You are in Christ, if so be you're in Christ, Paul said. Then you are born again and you are saved. And that's it. If you get hit by a truck the next day, you go to heaven. If you live another 50, 60, 70 years, you go to heaven. You are positionally in Christ. That's your standing. But your state could be different. You need to progress. You need to learn. I remember when I first got saved, and I guess like everybody else, I had really no clue what was in the Bible. And I read, and it's like, wow, look at that. And it blew my mind. Little mind, it's not hard to blow, I guess. But it completely just, man, wow. So we have to learn. And throughout the epistles, we'll get instructions like, if you used to steal for a living, go find something else to do. There's a progression. You should grow in Christ. And Paul will use words like stature and what have you. But we are in Christ, but then we need to let the Lord do something in our heart. It's a progressional sanctification. So first the waters came out from underneath the threshold and we've bowed before the Lord and we've gotten saved. Then there's this river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, right at the right side of the altar. And this water, it's the water of life. Jesus said to the woman, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you'd have asked of him, and he would have given you not this muddy stuff out the well, but living water. Living water. On the last day of the feast, I think in John chapter 7, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, for out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I know we always, or some of us always, when we're praying for people to be filled with the Spirit, we'll quote that and say, etc., you know, tongues and the belly and all that stuff. And I guess you can do that, but the belly in question is Christ. Remember, everything comes through Christ. Out of Christ's belly shall flow rivers of living water. When he hung on the cross and the spear was shoved into his side, there came out blood and water. We know the blood. Thank God for the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. But also a little bit, a cup or so of water, that did nothing. But it was a symbol. It was a symbol of the mighty Holy Spirit that came. Jesus went back to heaven 7 days later. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came. And thank God for it. Thank God for it. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that you should be witnesses unto me to the uttermost parts of the earth, even to this little place in the middle of absolutely nowhere in Haiti. The Spirit's gone there. It's reached even to there. In countless villages and hundreds and of different countries and etc. During World War II, the Japanese went all over the place. The Germans went all over the place. And we had to fight them all over the place. And the Australians went to New Guinea. They knew where New Guinea was, but nobody went up in there. Nobody went there at all. It was just impenetrable, and nobody knew where anything was. And they began to find little tribes of pygmies or whatever exactly they are that didn't wear any clothes, didn't know what clothes were, had no use for clothes. And then after the war was over, missionaries began to say, well, let's go find that tribe. In 1979, you think of that, 1979, in Papua New Guinea, they discovered one more tribe, the Liaweap tribe, who, again, didn't have any clothes. Nobody, well, they kind of, we think we were there over there, but nobody really had any contact with them. But I believe it was the Christian and Missionary Alliance missionaries that went and found them and brought the gospel to them. Thank God. Thank God. But he said, if only you knew who it was that was talking to you, you'd have asked of him and he would have given you living water. Living water. But this angel or what have you measured out a quarter mile. They went from the bank out toward the center or toward the other side. They went a quarter mile and it was shallow. It was just to the ankles. And remember I said that this message is a picture of our sanctification and growth in Christ. We're saved, the threshold, etc. But then we go out a little bit and the water reaches to the ankles. I'm using my ankles. I'm walking. When you're in Christ, what's the definition of repentance? It means to stop, turn around, and walk the other way. Yeah, fine, you get saved, but then you go out a little ways and you realize that you need to repent of some things. I used to go to the bar, I used to do this and do that and do the other things. I got to repent, and I got to walk the other way. Praise God. I've told it, may have even said it here, that when I got saved, within 5 minutes of getting saved, I knew I didn't have to go to the bar anymore. I knew I was delivered from marijuana. Not, I don't have to do that. It's like, I'm free. I don't need that anymore, but I'm free. I don't have to have it anymore. It used to be when I would go over to Mark's house or whatever, and he would reach up underneath the sofa and There's the tray. And something in me had to have that. The monkey was on my back. It's a psychological monkey, but he was there waving. But I went back to Mark's house after I got saved. And I tell him about Christ too while I'm there. He pulled the tray and I said, I can't believe I used to be addicted to that. Gone. Gone. Changed. Completely changed. We sang it. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? God specializes in the things thought impossible. The little maid carried away captive and serving Naaman's wife. I'm telling you, there's something to this. It's not, man, this is a good place to come shout on Sunday morning. There's something to this, I'm telling you. There's something to this. Went on 1,000, water to the ankles. We know that's repentance and fleeing dead works, etc. He went on 1,000 cubits, another quarter mile, and it says it was to the knees. What does that mean? If I'm walking and my direction changed with my ankles, maybe I should start praying. Praying for me. Praying for someone else. Oh, God, help me. Not, man, I think I can do this, and I know how to do that, and I'll go. No, Lord, you help me. Lord, you help me. I can quote all kind of Proverbs and Psalms. Proverbs verse 3, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We know these verses, can quote them. But we should trust in the Lord. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Let's turn to that because my mind's getting a little fuzzy. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I think the entire Bible can be summed up in that one verse. We live for ourselves the whole time we live. We need to live for others, and we need to serve God. We need to look to God. We need to depend upon God. In the old days of Pentecost, we depended upon God. Now we depend on everything but. We accept the world's methods, psychology, seeker-sensitive philosophy, marketing. We accept everything else. We need to get back to depending upon God. We need to get back to the altar. Abraham built 4. Moses built 4. Jacob built a couple. We need to build altars. And when I was at this church up the road, one of the best compliments I could have ever been given, this is a couple of years after I was saved, is that every time the altar call was given, if it was salvation or, you know, this or that, I didn't care. I went. I got on the edge, kind of on the side, and I sought God for whatever I was struggling with. And I went every Sunday, every service. I was there. I was asking God to help me. And Dave Olerking gave me this compliment. He said, well, it looks like you're comfortable at the altar. Thank God. That's where we need to be, comfortable at the altar. But they went out 1,000 cubits, another quarter mile into this river, big river. And the waters were to the loins. Well, we know loins. Us grown-ups, we know what happens here at the loins. We reproduce. It's one thing to get saved. It's another thing to stop sinning. It's another thing to pray. But then we begin to lead people to the Lord. We begin to reproduce. Maybe soul winning. Maybe you put some money in the bucket when the missionaries come or something. But you begin to do something for the kingdom of God. You begin to win souls. I was told when I took some soul winning class or something, write down scriptures. Romans 3:23, Romans 5:12-21, Romans 6:23, etc. I got a whole dozen of them here of scriptures. Let's say that they're the plan of salvation, the Roman road. If you go to my website, somewhere on there, I've got the Roman road posted. Very simple scriptures, but it tells the plan of God. And And that's certainly not everything you need to know to be a soul winner, but it's a really good start. But you should be soul winners. You go to Walmart and you end up in a conversation and whatever, you say, hey, you know, this is what God did for me, or whatever. But you should be about the business of winning souls. Be about the Father's business, Jesus said. But they went, in verse 5, another 1,000 cubits, another quarter mile. They were a mile from the bank. And it says, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. I remember when I first got saved, I ended up at a Baptist church. It's on Starring Lane, I think. And it's the building's there, but somebody else has it now. And I learned the fundamentals of the faith. I learned the Roman road, for instance. I learned a number of things. And I'm very thankful for that. That was my initial introduction, I guess, to the Christian faith. I'd gotten saved. I'd been delivered. But I found a local church, and that was good for about a year. But I'm a quick learner. I was in LSU. I was studying engineering. Not that I managed to graduate, but I had a brain at least at one point in life. And in reading and figuring things out, and I remember standing on the balcony one Sunday morning, and Sunday school was about to start, and I remember thinking, I sure hope I don't get to the end of this, because, I mean, I'll figure this stuff out. And, you know, it seems to be that they're not going to teach much more than what they've taught me. I hope this doesn't get old. Lord, please help. But not too long after that, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it came alive. I'm telling you, it came alive. Dead religion. And I'm glad that I was in that church. I'm thankful for it. Thank God for it. But dead religion. It says we can go this far, but that's it. We can't go no further. I have no use for it. Dead religion can't deliver the drug addict. Dead religion, there's a whole lot of things dead religion can't do. But it was a river that I could not pass over. Waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. God is so incredible, so beyond our understanding. You know the verse, He gives us stuff even more than we could ask or think. You cannot get past God. You cannot exceed Him. I quickly exceeded religion. But you can't exceed God. This river is so powerful and so strong. Anything that we need, God has. And as close as you want to get to God in studying and praying and in surrendering your heart, He's got so much more. So much more. I don't know how many times I'll be in the supermarket or driving down the road or taking a shower, and I'll be thinking about something, and all of a sudden the things of God or something, and all of a sudden I'm reduced to tears. I'm just amazed at how wonderful God is. As I said before, this thing is real. This thing is real. There's a little bit more to this. In verse 7, now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees, the one side and the other. In Revelation it says the leaves were for the healing of nations. But the water, and honestly, He's shown Israel. And I believe that this is after the New Jerusalem comes down. And God's throne is no longer in heaven, but here on earth. The tabernacle of God is with men. Truly, heaven and earth. But this river, I guess, sort of exists today. You have the Sea of Galilee, which absolutely teems with fish. It's kind of like down in Kokodry. Everywhere you cast your line, you get another one. Shrimp. Man, you got so much shrimp down there. And don't worry about the oil spill. Don't forget about Plaquemine Parish. You get stuff from Chauvin or Kokodry, that stuff's good, yeah. And masa. I got quite full, thank you, and the shrimp is fine. And the fish is fine, and Pornishan, what have you. Don't believe CNN. They don't quite have your best interest at heart. But the Sea of Galilee absolutely teems with fish, and that's the one that Jesus walked on, and etc. It goes down the Jordan River and goes, and we know this, we learned this in Sunday school, goes to the Dead Sea. It's dead because it's dead. There's nothing there. It's absolutely super saturated with salt, whatever. You can't go under the water. You can only float. I guess you jump, you go down, but you immediately bob up like a cork. You can't go down. But it says in these verses here, and I won't read them, I'll just tell you, that the water flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb flows down, I guess, the Jordan River. Or this maybe flows into it or something, but it ends up in the Dead Sea. And for thousands of years, the Sea of Galilee flowing down the Jordan has only done exactly nothing to deal with the salt and what have you, the minerals in the Dead Sea. It's still dead. But this river, when it begins to flow, will begin to heal the Dead Sea. Wash out all the salts. Make it, well, at the source, it's pure and pure like crystal and etc. When it gets to the Dead Sea, that Dead Sea will be clear as crystal. It's going to heal it. And as many fish as there are in the Sea of Galilee, there'll be even more than that in the Dead Sea. What does that mean? If your life is an utter wreck and you're on drugs, you're in prison, etc., your life is just gone. Jesus Christ can do something. Jesus Christ can do something. He can change you. I'm sure Pastor and I have run across ministers that before they got saved, they had done this or that and ended up in Angola. I actually ministered with a guy I met in Atlanta. That's what he did. He spent 10 years in Angola. But he was working in a homeless shelter, essentially, preaching the gospel. I remember that it was on Wednesday night, me and the guy that took me to Haiti, actually, and then this third brother, the one that was in Angola, preaching the gospel on that, I think it was alternate Wednesdays that we took at this homeless shelter. I don't care how your life is or what kind of trouble you found yourself in. Jesus Christ can pick you up and dust you off and set you on a rock and establish your goings. He can do it. He can certainly do it. Put your trust in Him. There's no question about that. You should put your trust in Him. Verse 11, I guess we can end this up this way. It says, but the miry places or the marshes or whatever shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. If you want the blessings of God in your life, you probably ought to attend church once in a while, read your Bible once in a while. If you say, no, I don't want, then the river of God will pass you by. You'll grow cold. You'll grow stale. You'll grow lukewarm. And what did Jesus say? Don't want that. That's up to you. That is up to you. And I trust that all of you would want the blessings of God in your life. But those people that are happy with dead religion, they're going to miss out. They'll miss out here. They may miss out there. When we get to heaven. So, I guess to sum up, we should trust in God. We should look to God. We should live for God and allow that river to flow in our hearts and lives. And again, it's the Holy Spirit, but it's a picture of our progressive walk with Christ. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful, so very thankful to preach the gospel. And I'm sure I've done a pitiful job, but if you've touched the hearts of anyone, please help them to continue in this way. Please bless them, all of them. If anyone is struggling with anything, whether they come forward or not, I'm asking that you take care of them. Encourage them. Help the people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to come and whatever you guys want to do, I don't know. Pastor, I'll turn it back. Thank you.
Bless you, Brother George.
You stop and think about what Ezekiel's saying. Water ankle deep. I know a lot of Christians as far as they ever get. With joy, they won't take another step. Even though the water is out there waiting, and even though the river of the life is still alive, and even though it's flowing from the throne of God, they'll just sit there and watch it flow, and they won't get any deeper, Brother Johnson. My Lord, I want to get out there where I can swim. You talked about that salt sea. I had read that before somewhere, where there's so much salt you can't sink. You can actually just dive off in it and float. Some of you said, I ain't never swam in my life. Go to the Dead Sea, you'll float. You won't have to worry about it. But my Lord, I don't want to be floating on something dead. I want to be swimming in something alive. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're so glad to have this word. Thank you this morning, Brother Joy. Appreciate you bringing it to us. Let's all stand, if you will, and let's sing a song. You got something we can sing real quick?
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.